Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to today's Rovi Full Year 2018 Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, 26th of February, 2019. I would now like to turn the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Javier López-Belmonte. Thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you very much and good afternoon to everyone. This is Javier López-Belmonte, CFO of Rovi. At this time, I would like to welcome everybody to this full year 2018 results conference call, which will start in a moment. Let me please first introduce Rovi's attendees today. Juan López-Belmonte, CEO, Marta Campos, Investor Relations, and myself. All lines are now on mute to prevent any background noise. The conference will also be webcasted on Rovi's website. After the presentation, as the operator said, there will be a question and answer session. Let me now turn the call over to the CEO, Mr. Juan López-Belmonte, for the highlights of this full year 2018 results.
Thank you, Javier, and welcome to everybody. I'm glad to present our full year 2018 results. Performance this year has been over our expectations. Our 10% operating revenue growth in 2018 was driven by the strength of the specialty pharmaceutical business, which grew by 16%, strongly outperforming the market. Data provided by Quintiles IMS indicate that the innovative product market in Spain increased 2% in 2018. However, sales of pharmaceutical products with prescriptions for Rovi rose 18% in the same period, exceeding the market by 16 percentage points. We forecast that we will continue to grow at a higher rate than Spanish pharmaceutical market expenditure in 2018, which according to the Minister of Health, Consumption and Social Welfare, show a growth rate of 3%. Regarding the classification of laboratories using data from Quintiles IMS, Rovi was positioned 20th in terms of value and was the fastest-growing innovative company among the 20 top-ranked companies in 2018. In 2018, Rovi climbed three positions in this classification compared to 2017. As a member of Farmaindustria, the Spanish Pharmaceutical Industry Association, Rovi is subject to a collaboration agreement entered into between Farmaindustria and the Spanish government in 2016. Pursuant to the agreement, in the event that public spending on drugs, excluding generics and biosimilars, increases at a rate in excess of the actual rate of growth of the Spanish gross domestic product, the pharmaceutical industry must reimburse the difference to the government through monetary payments. In 2018, the public spending growth rate was higher than the GDP growth rate, and therefore, the sales recorded by Rovi were 3.5 million euros lower than the actual sales. This amount is included in the discounts to the National Health System line. In 2018, we made an important investment effort in research and development as we continued to develop a phase III trial for risperidone and a phase I study for letrozole, both with our ISM technology. Likewise, EBITDA was affected by non-recurring expenses of 1.1 million euros linked to a substantial change to First Ibérica employees' working conditions. EBITDA with research and development, calculated excluding research and development expenses in 2018 and 2017, and the impact of non-recurring expenses last year, increased by 8% from 58.2 million euros in 2017 to 63 million euros in 2018, reflecting a 0.3 percentage point fall in the EBITDA margin to 20.8% in 2018. Net profit pre-R&D, calculated excluding research and development expenses in 2018 and 2017, and the impact of non-recurring expenses in 2018 increased by 19%, from 45 million euros in 2017 to 53.8 million euros last year. Prescription-based pharmaceutical specialties, which grew by 18% in 2018, are high strategic value products and contribute to give Rovi a wider scope for the coming years. Rovi counts as driving force with its low molecular weight heparin franchise, where sales rose 42% to 121.5 million euros last year. Low molecular weight heparin sales represented 40% of operating revenue in 2018 compared to 31% in 2017. We aim to become one of the leaders in the low molecular weight heparin field worldwide with our two molecules, bemiparin and enoxaparin biosimilar. Bemiparin, which performed very well in 2018, grew by 9% to an amount of 91.3 million euros. Sales of bemiparin in Spain increased 15% to 67.4 million euros last year, while the low molecular weight heparin market increased 4.2%, hitting the market by 11.8 percentage points and achieving a market share of 32% in 2018 compared to 28% in the previous year. Bemiparin international sales decreased by 5% to 23.8 million euros in 2018. Regarding the enoxaparin biosimilar, Becat, we launched the product in Germany in September 2017, and in the UK, Italy, France, Spain, Austria, Latvia, and Lithuania in 2018. And we should be launching in all major countries in Europe before end of Q1 2019. For this purpose, in our first stage of commercialization strategy, we have established subsidiaries in France, UK, Germany, Italy, and Poland. These five countries plus Spain and Portugal cover around 75% of the European enoxaparin market and provide a pan-European infrastructure that is highly leverageable. Besides Europe, we have signed out licensing agreements in 68 countries as part of our second stage of our commercialization strategy. We have signed two important licensing agreements to distribute and market enoxaparin biosimilar, the first with Hikma Pharmaceuticals, who has exclusive rights for 17 Middle East and North Africa countries, and the second with Sandoz for 14 countries regions. We started the commercialization in Q4 2017 in Germany, which sales amounted to 1.5 million euros and global sales increased to 30.2 million euros in 2018. So let me summarize the opportunity here. This is a 1.5 billion market with high entry barriers, where biosimilars tend to reach 50 to 70% of market share and with only two other players currently in the market. The latest launches were again a strong driver of growth in 2018. Sales of Neparvis from Novartis, launched in December 2016, indicated for the treatment of adult patients with symptomatic chronic heart failure and reduced ejection fraction, reached 13.6 million euros compared to 4.7 million euros last year. Sales of Volutsa from Astellas Pharma increased by 25% to 11.2 million euros. Sales of Irobreeze Breezhaler and Ulunar Breezhaler, both inhaled bronchodilators from Novartis, increased by 7% to 15.3 million euros. Sales of Vitorin, Orvatez, and Absorcol, the first of the five licenses of Merck, Chapandon, decreased by 9% to 36 million euros in 2018. In the second quarter of 2018, the active principle ezetimibe went out of patent and the price of Absorcol was reduced. Likewise, generics formulated with ezetimibe and simvastatin have recently been marketed, so the price of Vitorin has been reduced to be competitive. All these product launches will lead us to extend the average life of our product portfolio by several years, and we expect they will provide us with a sustainable and profitable growth opportunity in the coming years. Other products, such as Medikinet and Medisa-Bram from Medice, decreased by 2% to €7.4 million in 2018. And finally, sales of contrast imaging agents increased by 4% to €29.7 million, and Rovi continues being the market leader in this segment. Regarding toll manufacturing, sales decreased by 11% to €54.6 million in 2018, mainly because of the reduction of the injectable business compared to 2017, when exceptional high volumes were manufactured for some customers. Rovi has one of the largest solid oral forms manufacturing plants in Europe, and Frost Iberica plant sales decreased 1% in 2018 to 21.9 million euros. The manufacturing plant at San Sebastián de los Reyes, acquired in June 2015, started prefilled syringe filling operations in February 2018, thus expanding the production lines of injectables of the group. As previously informed, Rovi has progressed in the development of risperidone ISM, the first candidate for its leading-edge drug delivery technology ISM, for a prolonged release of risperidone, a well-established second-generation antipsychotic medicine. After successfully finishing the phase 1 and 2 program of risperidone ISM, we started the pivotal phase 3 trial, Prisma 3, with the recruitment of the first patient in May 2017. In May 2018, we informed that after a pre-specified interim analysis on the pivotal Prisma 3 study, an independent data monitoring committee recommended to continue the clinical trial and not increasing the currently planned number of randomized patients. After finishing the recruitment in September 2018, all patients completed the double-blind main part of the study in December 2018. Therefore, the company plans to file an NDA, US registration dossier for the FDA, the second half of 2019. On the other hand, in November 2017, Rovi started the clinical development of letrozole ISM, the first long-acting injectable aromatized inhibitor intended for the treatment of hormone-dependent breast cancer. The first phase 1 clinical trial, the LISA-1 study, is an open-label dose escalation study to evaluate the pharmacokinetics, safety, and tolerability of single intramuscular injections of letrozole ISM at different strengths in healthy postmenopausal women. The clinical trial is currently ongoing as scheduled. And finally, let me end with our guidance for 2019. Rovi expects a high single-digit growth rate for the operating revenue. We have stayed on the path of sustained growth. We have increased our sales, strongly outperforming the market. We have expanded our heparin franchise through the launch of our enoxaparin biosimilar in 7 new countries and the signature of 2 important agreements with Hikma and Sandoz for 31 countries. We've reinforced our European presence through the acquisition of 2 new products, Palitron for German market and Polaramine for the Spanish and French markets. And we've consolidated our pharmaceutical specialties area thanks to the strength of our leading products such as Neparvis, Ulunar, and Volutsa. Likewise, we are making an effort to heavily invest in research and development, focus on our ISM technology, what we see as a new avenue of future growth for Rovi. To conclude, we believe we are at a growth inflection point, with a strong growth opportunity driven by risperidone and letrozole, both candidates validating our leading-edge drug delivery technology ISM, and paroxetine biosimilar, which will allow us to transform a European footprint. These growth levers are firmly underpinned by a very solid ongoing business that has delivered year after year based on our leading specialty pharma franchise and our high-value added manufacturing services. And now I pass on Javier, who will run you through the financials in more detail. Thank you very much for your attention and for taking the time to participate in this telephone conference.
Thanks, Juan. We are very happy with our performance in 2018. As Juan already said, our operating revenue increased by 10% this year. Sales of prescription-based products increased by 18%, strongly outperforming the innovative product market in 16 percentage points in 2018. Regarding our low molecular weight heparin franchise, we achieved a 42% growth. Sales of bemiparin, our flagship product developed in-house, grew by 9%, and enoxaparin biosimilar sales reached 30.2 million euros last year. Gross profit increased by 5% to 176.2 million euros in 2018. The gross margin showing a decrease of 2.6 percentage points from 60.7% in 2017 to 58.1%, mainly due to several factors. First, the drop in the injectable business, which had added higher margins in 2017. The increase of enoxaparin biosimilar sales, which added lower margins in 2018 after the launch of the product in seven new markets. The commented 3.5 million euro reduction in sales recorded in connection with the agreement entered into between pharma industry and the Spanish government. And finally, the increase in the low molecular weight heparin raw material prices, which in 2018 were running around 30% over 2017 prices. Rovi expects this rising trend to continue during 2019. Rovi's commitment to innovation has been reflected in the figures for 2018. R&D expenses rose 15% to 32.4 million euros. These figures are mainly the result of a focused investment in the ISM Risperidone project. Our investment effort in R&D is motivated by our firm commitment to market own quality and successful products in the immediate future. Selling general and administrative expenses, SG&A, rose 4%. To 113.2 million euros in 2018, mainly due to international subsidiaries expenses, which amounted to 6.6 million euros compared to 1.6 million euros in 2017. Excluding expenses related to these international subsidiaries, SG&A would have decreased by 0.2% in 2018. For this year, 2019, expenses related to international subsidiaries are expected to be around or close to 10 million euros. In 2018, EBITDA was affected by non-recurring expenses of 1.1 million euros, linked to a substantial change to Frost Iberica employees' working conditions. This change in these working conditions was mainly related to the removal of the catering service, for which the employees were compensated with a sum similar to the cost that Rovi would have incurred in the following five-year period. EBITDA decreased to 25.9 million euros in 2018, a fall of 1% compared to the previous year, reflecting a 1.1 percentage point decrease in the EBITDA margin, which was down to 9.7% in 2018 from 10.9% the previous year. However, EBITDA pre-R&D, calculated excluding R&D expenses in 2018 and 17, and the impact of non-recurring expenses in 2018, increased by 8% from 58.2 million euros in 2017 to 63 million euros in 2018, reflecting only a 0.3 percentage point fall in the EBITDA margin to 20.8% in 2018. EBIT performance followed the same trend as EBITDA in 2018. It decreased by 5% to 17.5 million euros, reflecting a 0.9 percentage point fall in the EBIT margin. EBIT pre-R&D, calculated in the same way, excluding R&D expenses in 2018 and 17, and the impact of non-recurring expenses in 2018, increased by 9% from 46.7 million euros in 2017 to 51 million euros last year, reflecting only a 0.1 percentage point fall in the EBIT margin to 16.8% in 2018. Net financial cost decreased by 13% up to 0.8 million euros in 2018. Net profit increased to 17.9 million euros last year, a 40% rise compared to 2017. However, net profit pre-R&D, calculated excluding R&D expenses in 2018 and 17, and the impact of non-recurring expenses in 2018, increased by 19% from 45 million euros in 2017 to 53.8 million euros last year. The effective tax rate was -7.3% in 2018, generating a positive income tax of 1.2 million euros compared to 1.6% in 2017. This favorable effective tax rate is due to the deduction of existing research and development expenses and the capitalization of negative tax bases. As of the end of last year, negative tax bases of the group amounted to 36.3 million euros, of which 1.4 million euros will be used in the 2018 income tax. While the risperidone ISM phase 3 trial is ongoing, adding higher R&D expenses, Rovi expects a very beneficial effective tax rate to be applicable, which could cause the income tax item to be positive income as of this year, notwithstanding when the R&D expenses are normalized after completion of the phase 3 trial, the company expects the effective tax rate to be in mid-single digit numbers in the following years. Rovi invested 17.4 million euros in 2018 compared to 15.5 million euros the previous year. Of this amount, 15.1 million euros relates to investment capex regarding our facilities, and 2.3 million euros relates to maintenance and other capex. In addition, in 2018, Rovi invested 9 million euros for the acquisition of Falitrom. In this way, free cash flow decreased to -17.8 million euros in 2018 from minus 1.6 million euros in 2017, mainly due to the increase in inventories, receivables, and payables, and the increase in capex. As everybody knows, in 2018, Rovi increased its equity by approximately 80 million euros, Net expenses related to the transaction amounted to 3.9 million euros, resulting in a net capital increase of 84.1 million euros. As of the date of this presentation, Rovi, among other uses, has used 22.5 million euros of these funds to acquire Falithrom and Polaramine. Regarding our debt, as of 31st December 2018, Rovi had total debt of 34.2 million euros. Of that amount, 22.7 million euros is debt with banks, representing 66% of total debt, while 11.5 million euros correspond to debt with public administration related to the development of R&D projects, which is 0% interest rate debt, representing 34% of total debt. After the completion of the capital increase in October last year, as of 31st December 2018, Rovi had gross cash position of 97 million euros compared to 18.9 million euros as of 30th September 2018, and 42.1 million euros as of 31st December 2017. A net cash of 62.8 million euros compared to net debt of 20.6 million euros as of 30th September 2018, and net debt of 1.1 million euros as of 31st 2017. Finally, Rovi will put a proposal to the general shareholders meeting to allocate the 2018 profit to, firstly, the reserves item on the company statement of financial position, and secondly, the distribution of a dividend of 0.0798 euros per share entitled to receive it, which would entail the distribution of approximately 25% of the consolidated net profit for 2018. Finally, regarding news flow for 2019, we expect to announce additional new products to be launched in the specialty pharma area, new contracts in the toll manufacturing division, a new national marketing approval for the enoxaparin biosimilar in two EU countries, Greece and Luxembourg. Likewise, we expect to launch our enoxaparin biosimilar in all major countries in Europe before first quarter 2019. With regards to R&D, we expect to release the risperidone ISM phase III data by the second quarter of 2019, and we plan to file an NDA, a new drug application, in the U.S. registration dossier for the FDA in the second half of 2019. Also, we expect to release the letrozole ISM phase I data readout by the second quarter of this year. That's all regarding our financial results for 2018. We can now start the Q&A session.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Okay, right now, sir, we have four questions coming, and our first question comes from the line of James Vane-Tempest. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got three if I can, please. Firstly, last year you helpfully gave an indication of expectations for Becat. I was just wondering whether you'd be happy to do the same for 2019. Also, does your revenue guidance include some of the recent product acquisitions? That's my first question, then I'll just ask the other two. Thank you.
Hi, James. This is Javier speaking. This year, we are not providing a formal guidance to the market, but we are saying to analysts and investors that you can take the sales of the last quarter of the year and have a good visibility to this year biosimilar sales. Second, with regards to the acquisitions, as we have a range in the guidance, we now feel more comfortable to be hitting the higher part of the range. However, we are still in February, It's still very early for us to update the guidance, but we feel more comfortable, more confident to be in the higher part of the range.
Thank you. Just to clarify your answer, so you're saying if you look at the last quarter, are you saying that's the run rate, or are you saying that's sort of the base and you're expecting growth from that? I didn't quite understand your answer.
Well, we as I said, it still is even early for us to have visibility for the year. We are just thinking as a run rate, but it's a good give us at least to the people and to us a good visibility for the evolution of the sales for this year.
Okay.
An initial run rate.
Okay, thank you. And then what you spoke about in terms of the gross margin, in terms of lower contract manufacturing revenue, and then also higher Becker revenues and raw materials costs going up. Do you expect gross margins to come down again this year? And how should we view the evolution of your gross profit line, please?
Hi, James. This is Juan. I mean, I think gross margins are in regarding to the Becker, evolving as we really expected. As we have already shared with the investor community, we believe that this is at least the way Rovi sees the pyrazinamide enoxaparin is in terms of a midterm, long-term race where we want to become one of our leading company in the low molecular weight heparin. And really, our marketing and price strategy has been designed accordingly to this long-term objective. Right now, we are seeing certain tension in the raw material price, which is logical to the extent that we, all companies involved in this market, we are building inventories. So we are creating a sort of an artificial over-demand in all materials that obviously is impacting across the supply chain and is impacting all companies. We do expect still some tensions in 2018, but hopefully we believe that in 2020, it should stabilize and even start showing some levels of price reduction. But as I said before, I mean, this is as we expected. We've been on the low molecular weight heparin market for years. Right now, we are all in a race of building inventories and making sure that we launch our products as soon as possible in all attractive markets. And as Javier has mentioned before, we are showing at least a very promising platform in the last quarter this year, and we are really want is to make sure that we capture the right market share in the most profitable markets as soon as possible.
Understood. So it sounds as if gross margins are probably trending down a little bit this year, and then hopefully starting to go up in 2020. Is that the right way to think about it?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Overall for the group.
Yeah, that should be the, okay. The logical path.
Okay, thank you. And then my final question just on SG&A. If I understand correctly, you're saying there's an incremental 10 million euros in 2019 for the subsidiaries. I'm just curious, putting all that together, if you'd be happy to give at least an indication of EBIT or EBITDA margin or how we should think about profitability for this year. Thank you.
Hi, James. This is Javier speaking again. Let me clarify that this 10 million figure, or to be close to 10 million figure, SG&A for the international subsidiaries are not incremental. It's the absolute quantity. So we are not talking about another 10 million. We are talking about up to 10 million. So that would mean only around 3 to 4 extra million euros for the year, which some of these costs are variable linked to the evolution of the sales. For instance, logistics and warehousing cost. And then in terms of EBITDA, the guidance policy of the company is not to give a guidance, especially since this year, as we've been telling you, we have that many variables that are not easy to control.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
Okay, our next question comes from the line of Jose Maria. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. I've got two. First of all, it's regarding Bemiparin. What would you expect for Bemiparin sales, both in Spain and international? and if you could maybe give some more color on what happened this year with international sales. And I had some problems with my connection, so I don't know if you have already answered this question, but regarding raw material prices, what would you expect for 2019? So I think I heard that you were expecting a similar trend than the one seen in 2018, but just to confirm this point. Thank you.
Hello, Jose Maria, this is Juan. Regarding bemiparin, specifically on Spain, actually the performance last year was extremely good. We don't see any sign that it should be different in 2019, although we expect that growth may slow down slightly, especially after the second, third quarter of this year. But we do expect as well an important growth in the bemiparin sales in Spain. Regarding the bemiparin, the international business, the decrease was mainly due to the devaluation of the Turkish currency, which is Turkey is one of our most important markets in the international landscape, and the devaluation of the currency it has really impacted us in a very important way, showing that 5% decrease, which is mainly due to the sales of that country. Our expectations, we are trying to talk over with the Turkish government to see if we can get some sort of compensation by getting a price increase of the bemiparin in Turkey. Right now, we don't have any visibility on that sense, so we should be expecting on international bemiparin to have a level of sales very similar to what we achieved in 2018. Regarding raw material prices, I can only share with you what I did before with James. Gross margins and raw material prices are evolving as we expected. We all companies, we are right now building inventories, trying to make sure that we have product to launch in all countries as soon as possible. So we do believe that we have created a certain level of an artificial bubble in terms of an over-demand on all the materials on the low molecular weight heparin supply chain. That has provided certain price tensions in 2018. We believe that those tensions will continue in an important part throughout 2019, but we believe they will stabilize by the end of the year, beginning of 2020, and we may even see some signals of decrease next year. Again, having said that, that was already in our roadmap, and it was something that we had already in mind when we are launching the product in different markets. And right now, our focus and strategy is to make sure that we launch the product in the most important market and making sure that we capture as much market share as possible in the most profitable low molecular weight heparin markets.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, our next question comes from the line of Susie Hanna. Thank you, your line is now open.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. I just really wanted to follow up on the market dynamics in the LVMH market. So firstly, really, can you give us a bit more color on why Hybor is doing particularly well in Spain this year versus perhaps last year? We know we saw some changes there. And also, are you seeing the two biosimilars that have launched in Europe for enoxaparin, are you seeing any sort of competition there? And then lastly, just in terms of NHS discounts, if you'd give us a little bit of transparency there and what we might be thinking about in 2019, whether it's skewed to a few products within the portfolio. Thank you.
Hello, Susie. This is Juan. Regarding the bemiparin, the market dynamics in Spain, just let me remind that bemiparin is a second-generation low molecular with heparin. We have always marketed the product as a clinically differentiated profile versus enoxaparin, in the sense that it's the only low molecular weight heparin that can be administered before and after surgery, and secondly, it's the only low molecular weight heparin that provides 24-hour coverage to all patients regardless of their risk with one dose per day. That means that basically what it has happened, at least that's our vision last year, is that the fact that biosimilars were launched in Spain or the fact that biosimilars were already being launched in Europe, again, our commercial awareness has increased significantly in the last 8 months. And that's why we believe that our share of voice and our share of science compared to Sanofi's promotional effort has increased significantly. And we believe that those are the rationale, the fact that has provoked this tremendous performance of Bemiparin in the Spanish market last year. And that's why we believe that to some extent, obviously it will be difficult to maintain this growth rate, it will continue in 2019, because again, we have been marketing Bemiparin for the last 10 years on a complete differentiated compound. Once biosimilars have been launched, it's also logical that Sanofi may have reduced their promotional budget, and that includes the number of reps and sales dedicated to the product, and we believe that's the reason why Bemiparin has performed with such a successful rates last year. Regarding the biosimilars in Europe, actually there is little information I can share with you, in the sense that First Italfarmaco, to the best of our knowledge, has just started marketing their product in Germany, and I believe as well in Italy, and we don't have that much info really to share. Regarding our Chinese colleagues, again, we haven't seen that much competition from them. But again, we are still on the very early stages in most of the markets. Bear in mind that we are only selling 30 million euros in a market in Europe that accounts for almost a billion. So again, still our market share is extremely small, and we are the leading company in terms of sales. So that's why we are still very very optimistic of the potential sales that we can make out with this product. Let me remind as well that we believe that we have always shared, that this is an industrial product. What it counts is the supply chain. What it counts is your industrial capabilities. And we believe in that sense, Rovi has got a unique competitive features in terms of global capacity, vertical integration from raw material to fill and finish. And that's why, as I mentioned in the last two questions, the way at least we have target this market is in a mid-term, long-term basis, and what Rovi is fully committed is to become one of the leading low molecular weight heparin markets companies in this market. Regarding discounts, they are in line, which we previously share with you in different events. Discounts are between 20 to 30%, depending on the markets. Hospital prices, they were already low because they were lower significantly initially by Sanofi, and they are more or less have remained in the same level in terms of prices. And retail prices, the average discount, depending on the countries, is between 20 to 30, which again is very much in line with the trend followed by other biosimilars launched before.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Okay, our next question comes from the line of Alvaro Arizagi. Your line is now open.
Hello, good afternoon. I'm sorry to say that most of my doubts have been already clarified. Just to make sure, because I couldn't listen to it, the new products that you recently acquired, are the revenues are included in the guidance that you provide us, right?
Hi, Alvaro. This is Javier. Our guidance was originally issued to the market last November when we haven't acquired those products yet. What I said is that as those acquisitions are small, they only account around 9 million euro sales on total, What I can say right now is that we feel more comfortable to achieve the higher part of the range. However, it's still early for us. It's only February to change or to update the guidance.
All right. Thank you very much. Understood.
Okay. Our next question comes from the line of Isabel Carvalho. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Three questions, if I may. The first one is regarding Bemiparin HIBOR sales during the Q4. If I'm not wrong, I think there has been a slowdown in the last quarter of the year in Spain. If you can please clarify if this is correct. Second question is regarding the CAPEX, your CAPEX expectation for this new year, 2019. Finally, if you can comment a little bit on your M&A plans, given your strong cash flow, net cash position. Thank you.
Hello, Isabel. This is Juan. Regarding Bemiparin, the fourth quarter 2018 is very much in line with other quarters. It has maybe it's a little bit flattish compared to Q4 2017. But again, don't forget that low molecular weight heparins are very much related to surgery procedures. So depending on the holidays and depending on the days that surgery theaters are closed, it has a certain level of impact. But let me say as a recap, we don't see any dynamic today that should change the performance that we have shown in 2017. It may slow down a little bit, as I mentioned before, because obviously we're also marketing the biosimilar and enoxaparin in Spain, and there has been a certain level of erosion as well coming from our side. But as we are marketing the product as a completely differentiated compound, and low molecular weight heparins, they have to be prescribed by law, by trademark, we do believe that at least the performance of Bemiparin, again, should be very much in line with last year. Maybe with a certain level of slowdown after the second quarter, but the product is showing a lot of energy. Our share, at least for the data that we are getting from the audits, our share of voice has been increasing substantially and in a very sustainable way for the last three quarters. And I think those unique value propositions, in regardless to the wider therapeutic window, pre- and post-surgery administration, and the one dose per treatment, that is still very important and competitive differentiations versus enoxaparin. Again, we're also reaching a market share, which is already 32%. We still believe that we have room to grow, and it will depend very much on the next quarters how far we can go on our market share. But to some extent, we don't see on Q4 any signal that it should dramatically slow down the growth of the product.
Hello, Isabel. This is Javier. With regards to your second question about CAPEX, well, let me tell you that our forecast for this year, not taking into account any M&A activity, could be similar to this year figure, to last year figure. Our maintenance CAPEX, however, could be around 12 to 13 million euros. And finally, your last question with regards to our M&A activities. As we share with our investors in the capital raise transaction, we estimated at that point that around 40 to 60 million euros could be used to M&A. So far in this 3 months, I believe, we have already used around 22 million euros, and we will be, or we are actively looking for new potential acquisitions that could enlarge our operations in especially in Europe with our new subsidiaries, or that could add operational leverage to our domestic operations here in Spain. So yes, we are very active, but always looking for products and something, let's say, small that could be synergetic to us.
Okay. We will now go in to take our next question, and our next question comes from the line of Farmer Davini. Your line is now open.
Thank you, my questions. Congrats on a good set of 2018 results. I've just got a couple. The 3.5 million euro rebate, Spanish rebate. I just want to understand how you booked that. Is that all in Q4, or has it been booked throughout the year? And then the second question is just on capacity at your injectables plant. If you can just perhaps just tell us what the outlook there is in terms of, you know, spec capacity and potential new business. Thanks.
Hi, Tamir. This is Javier. Good afternoon. The rebate to the national health system, as Juan was trying to explain, is quite complex because it depends on the evolution of the GDP, also depends on the evolution of the pharmaceutical expenditure, both in the hospital channel and the retail channel. So the visibility is not that clear. So we did book some amount in the first 9 months. However, the main amount has been booked in the last quarter of the year when through Pharma Industria, through the corporate association, we've been informed about actual quantities. And we could have visibility to give to our auditors. And the mechanism is as we have accounted as less sales in the P&L. With regards to your second question about the capacity of the injectable business, as you may remember, we bought a second facility in 2015. Second injectable facility to J&J, to Johnson & Johnson. We've been able to start filling syringes last year, and this year we hope to start also manufacturing there, even our biosimilar. Capacity was, we try also to not to market or to commercialize the whole capacity to serve customers, as you know, trying to reserve or to keep enough room to the manufacturer to the manufacturing of our own biosimilar. Having said that, I believe that the expectations for 2019 are positive in the sense of contract manufacturing, and in terms of capacity, it's always complex to give you percentage. We do believe that we have enough capacity to get important market share in heparin market. And again, we have more capacity in some parts of the manufacturing process and less in others. But we still feel that we have plenty of capacity to become a leading player in the heparin market until we have to upscale our infrastructure again.
Okay, that's great. Maybe just to follow up on the rebate, should we be assuming a similar Q4 effect this year?
Again, that's another good question, because we have no government right now, or we have a government in progress. You know, an election has been called. So the agreement, maybe Juan, who is vice president of Pharma Industria, can give us more information.
Hi, Samir. This is Juan. I mean,
Officially, the agreement has been renovated for a quarter. That means until end of March. Up to today, we don't have any visibility of whether that can be renovated for the rest of the year because, as Javier has said, we have general elections in the 28th of April. So it will be very difficult to find a counterpart to really discuss the terms of a yearly annual renovation. The rationale why the agreement was renovated for the first quarter was to give time to renovate a global annual agreement. As elections have been announced, again, today we don't have any visibility of what could happen regarding to the agreement. We should have more visibility in the second quarter once we have a government already being appointed.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
Okay, we will now take our last question. And our last question comes from the line of Wilherme Fantio. Your line is now open.
Hello, Guillaume Sampaio from CaixaBank BPI. Thank you for taking my questions. Three for my... First, I'd like to sorry for going into this topic. I'd like to get your view on whether the inventory building in the low molecular weight heparin market that's driving up raw material prices could impact competition levels in the upcoming future. Second question: if I understood correctly, the growth slowdown after the second and third quarter in Spain in Bemiparin should be connected with some cannibalization by the enoxaparin biosimilar. If you can quantify your expectations regarding this impact. And third, if you could quantify the raw material impacts and the margin dilution from the enoxaparin biosimilar growth, so just to have an expectations for what we could see in 2019 as a run rate.
Hello, this is Juan. I hope I have understood the right way your first question regarding the trends on low molecular weight heparin. What we believe and we are seeing is that there is no therapeutic alternative for low molecular weight heparins. There is really nothing in the pipelines of any, at least that we have been able to check in the big pharma companies in regards to anticoagulants. We believe that with the oral anticoagulants, that means Xarelto, Apixaban, and Pradaxa, plus the low molecular weight heparin, the anticoagulant antithrombotic therapeutic area is fully covered. So we, at least that's our view, we believe that low molecular weight heparin is going to be a product that clinically is going to be needed for the next 10 years. And actually the figures that we are getting from the audits is that the market is still showing some growth in terms of units, obviously low single-digit growth, but still we are seeing that this is really the product of choice in the hospital setting and surgery settings. So in that sense, we are very optimistic in the sense that the market is going to remain a very important market, taking into account the size of Rovi. So we are talking X, just to give you a view. Without counting the U.S., enoxaparin sales accounts for 1.5 billion euros. If you add up to that the rest of the low molecular weight heparin markets, we may be talking about a market close to 2 billion euros. So definitely, Rovi, with the strategy of having two different compounds, enoxaparin plus bemiparin, plus our industrial capabilities and our know-how of the low molecular weight heparin market, we believe we have the features to really establish Rovi as one of the leading companies in the low molecular weight heparin. Regarding bemiparin, as I mentioned before, we are already reaching a market share of 32% in 2018. So it's logical that the closer that we get to market shares, close to 40%, we are going to suffer a natural slowdown, not only because of the cannibalization of the enoxaparin biosimilar,
but as well because we are already reaching sales, which are really, I believe, extraordinary in terms of performance. That's why, trying to be conservative, I mentioned before to some of your colleagues that we don't see any signal today that it may change the dynamics of 2018. But being conservative and realistic, it's also difficult to show a similar growth in 2018. We do expect that Q1 and Q2 should be in line, but it would be as well common sense that we show a slowdown in terms of growth of Bemiparin throughout 2019. But again, it's not because the product is weakening, it's not because the low molecular heparins are decreasing, it's actually because we are already reaching a level of market share which is getting 40%. Bemiparin may become in the near future maybe the leading low molecular heparin in Spain. So we are actually reaching what it would be a natural ceiling in terms of sales. I'm sorry, but I don't forget your third question. If you can just repeat it.
Yeah, sorry. It's again related to gross margin. I'd just like to understand what is specifically the impact of the raw material increase this year and the margin dilution from enoxaparin biosimilar growth, because I think these two things at least will be maintained in 2019, if I understood correctly.
Yeah, regarding gross margins, again, as I mentioned before, low molecular weight heparins, we see it as an industrial thing. So, again, all companies right now, we are building inventories, we are trying to really buy all materials required to make sure that we have all our products available in all markets as soon as possible, and that's creating a sort of a bubble throughout all the different materials throughout the supply chain, not only the raw material, but as well the prefilled syringe. And don't forget that we are talking about a very sophisticated compound. It's a raw material that comes from the mucous intestine of the pigs, then is finished in a prefilled syringe, which now has to be sterilized, blistered, and packaged, talking about hundreds of SKUs. So again, we are talking about a very complex product with a reduced price throughout the markets compared to other prefilled syringes. So again, right now we are all companies trying to build our capabilities, and that artificial bubble is creating tensions in the raw material prices. We believe that that's going to continue during 2019, but hopefully, and that's our expectations, it will come to an end shortly at the end of this year, beginning of 2020. Anyway, we believed, it was in a roadmap. We knew that was going to happen. The same way it has happened with other biosimilars. What is important for Rovi is the midterm strategy, where we want to become one of the leading low molecular weight heparin suppliers. And right now, our price and marketing strategy is really focused not so much, obviously, increasing our gross margin, but definitely making sure that we capture leading market shares in those countries where are more profitable in terms of prices and volumes. And this is really right now the focus on the company. Having said that, obviously gross margins will evolve positively over time because, again, as we gain size and volume, it will have, a scaling impact on the gross margin. But we believe 2019 will be a transition year, and we'll start seeing much more positive data in 2020.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Okay, sir, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Thank you. As the operator said, there are no more questions at this time, so we've finalized this full year results conference call. We appreciate your time and attention, and goodbye, and have a good afternoon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.